Hey, health fix junkies. It's Dr. Anna Marie from the Happy Whole You podcast. It's a podcast where I talk about all things brain health, mindset, and holistic wellness. Check out episode 454 on the Health Fix podcast, where I talk about how to transform your biology by changing how you think. You're listening to the Health Fix podcast with your host, Dr. Janine Krause.
Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix podcast, I have Anne Maria Tom back on, and we are going to be talking about probably one of the biggest sources of frustration and confusion that's possibly keeping women from losing weight in this vicious cycle that goes round and round with cortisol, blood sugar, and the scale. So, Anne Maria, Tom, and I talk about our experiences in real life with our own hormones and weight, but then we also dive into what Anne Maria is doing with her clients to help them finally end the battle with blood sugar, hormones, all that jazz to help folks lose weight. So, this is a fun one. Don't want to miss out on this, especially if you are sick and tired of trying to figure out what in the world is going on with your hormones and your weight. Anne Maria, Tom has you covered. Let's get on with the podcast. Hey, health junkies. I have Anne Marie on, and we're going to be talking about hormones again. Last time we were talking about weight loss, but in particular, we had a lovely live on, I don't know, was it 2 weeks ago now? I don't even know. Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
And we were talking about just the, you know, hormone questions that we get. And of course, since you're working in the weight loss space, there's always the question that I get from people. And I'm curious if you get this one. Do you get the question of like, it has to be my hormones, doc? I swear, you know, or like, it has to be, Anne Marie. I swear it has to be my hormones. What do you think? What do you think? Is this...
Oh my God. Like, I don't know how many times people slide into my DMs and say this thing, like, I am doing everything I possibly can and I cannot get rid of my weight. You know, so many things I'm trying and I know for sure it is my hormones that is playing a role. I'm not denying the fact that hormones is playing a role, but one thing I want to reiterate is that hormones are maladaptive to your lifestyle and it's not the other way around. Okay, so if something is going on within your body, within your hormones, you gotta look at what your lifestyle is. What are you even doing with your lifestyle, you know? And then we need to, I know people doesn't like to hear this, but this is the truth. And I hope that resonates with you and you talking to your clients as well when they come with, you know, a similar situation in terms of hormones particularly.
Yeah, it happens. Because I mean, we all want the quick fix, right? We were just like, if it was just like, I could have a thyroid hormone pill, and I could have like my female hormones dialed in, everything's going to be better. Because of course, there's like, I would like to honestly find the one person online that like is out there saying like they tried hormones, and their weight dropped off and they felt so much better. Because I don't see the magic like that in my office. And I'm guessing you probably don't see the magic. You see people like they've tried different things and they're still like, and
I
here's
know.
My weight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there is no magic fix for it. You know, the weight that you guys put on, and this is true for me as well. I'm just saying it as general. I'm not pinpointing anyone. What I'm saying is the weight that we put on took years to build up, right? So what makes us believe that it is just gonna go away in matter of like weeks or months, even if like we were giving you the most potent hormone that is going to put everything else into place like today, it's still not going to happen. Weight loss should happen as a byproduct of you changing your lifestyle habits that actually got you to that point. That's how I see weight loss as. And then the more you stay away from quick fixes, I believe the easier it is going to be for people to lose weight and importantly keep that off without putting too much effort into the maintenance part.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's just a culture I think that we have of the quick fix and the quick pill, and we forget that, yeah, it took time. You know, you didn't gain weight overnight. It didn't happen like this. Now, I saw your before and after pictures from your transformation, and I was like, wow. Like when things were really like at the turning point for you, were you also thinking about hormones? Were you having hormone stuff happening? Like, what was going on for you at that time?
Yeah. So my estrogen and progesterone was all over the place. Like I had PCOS. I was not ovulating regularly. I was not getting my monthly cycles regularly. Sometimes I get more than one cycle on a monthly and with heavy periods, heavy bleeding and excruciating pain. After like giving birth to two babies, I can like, I literally made this connection. Oh my God, all that pain that I was experiencing in my 20s with menstruation was similar to my labor pain. That's how painful it was. I don't know if anyone listening to this conversation can resonate with it. You know, that intense of a pain was similar to the labor pain I had with my two babies. Yeah, so there were so many irregularities happening with me for my hormones, and my turning point was actually ditching the quick fixes, because I went after quick fixes for years and years and years, and I felt, okay, this is going to be my breakthrough. This is going to be my breakthrough. And I always relied on external circumstances to help me get that breakthrough, give me that breakthrough, right? Like looking into myself and understanding, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Right? Mm-hmm. What is my actual goal here? Is it to just drop 10 pounds? Or is it actually, I don't care about the weight, but I really want to feel good about myself. I really want to have my menstrual cycle back. I really want to have my ovulation back on track, right? What was my goal? So my goal changed in the first place. It was not about weight anymore for me. So that's when I stopped looking at the scale. I was like, let the scale be there. I'm not going to look at it. Okay, maybe like a year from now, 2 years from now, I'm going to go look at it and see if I'm at my goal weight, but I'm going to shift my goal from losing weight to actually balancing out my hormones and changing my lifestyle from scratch. And that's where the big breakthrough actually happened for me. And hence I'm so passionate about teaching this to people, but I don't think, and I'm not sitting here and blaming others, but I don't think we have that patience, right? We live in this world of instant gratification. We want to see results like right away. We are not allowing us or giving ourselves permission to experience that journey as is and then just go with the flow. Yeah. I believe that's what's lacking.
Yeah.
And more people needs to get on board on that. And that's when you're going to see that breakthrough that you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. You have to get to that point where you're like, all right, I'm so done. I'm so done with all of this other stuff. Right now, I'm actually working with a coach because we are working on having me bulk up and do some fitness stuff. Sure. And what's funny is like, I'm back to the scale thing because we're looking for little changes. And I'm like, oh, I left this go so long ago. I don't want to. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Scale is a little bit scary. Like I don't ask my clients to weigh themselves like every day or something. I know some people weigh themselves like twice a day, and your weight is going to fluctuate a lot. Like you can go up to 3 to 4 pounds throughout the day. That doesn't mean that you're gaining fat in just few hours. No, you're not. Your hormones are fluctuating pretty regularly and frequently. So that is going to reflect on your scale as weight gain. And the number doesn't really matter. Like it doesn't mean anything unless we put some meaning to it, right? So I don't ask my clients to weigh more than once a week. And I don't even want them to weigh more than once a week, but I know people are so anal about seeing that number change on the scale. I just do that just for my clients to feel better about themselves. Okay, I'm seeing some kind of progress here. But yeah, I don't do that to myself. Personally, I don't weigh myself because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're like, huh. Yeah. It's so crazy. I don't know. Like, I probably set like a weight, like a magical weight number in my head in like high school. And it's like stayed in my head all these years. And you're like, where does this go? From. Do you feel like you did anything like that, or any of your clients are doing stuff like that?
Oh my God. I've personally done that to myself too. Like I always wanted to be 45 kilograms, and 45 kilograms for me is underweight.
Yeah, I'm like, not even 100 pounds.
I know. Yeah. 45, that, you know, that came from my broken mindset that I created, or due to all the starvations and things that I did in the past, 45 kilograms. I wanted to be in the 45 kilograms because when I was in my 12th grade, I was 45 kilograms and I was looking so thin with a flat tummy and all that. But as we like age, you are going to put on weight. You need that weight to support your organ system and everything, right? But that part of me did not really understand why like having a healthy weight was important. So for me, always it was, okay, if I'm not in like 45, then I'm doing something wrong, right? So it took a lot of time for me to finally come in terms with, okay, so you just have to be in your normal basal metabolic index. Wherever you fall in that, that's fine. It's not about the weight. It's all about the body fat percentage. How much body fat percentage you have and where are you carrying your fat is the most important thing. So once I shifted my focus from looking at the scale, looking on like a certain number to actually the body fat percentage, that's what helped me even like shift that mindset. And this is true for 99% of my clients too. They're so stuck on the number. You know, sometimes we can see so much of a difference in their body composition, right? Their body is shrinking, fat percentage is coming down, but that's not going to reflect on the weighing scale quickly. If you're someone who's like strength training, building a lot of muscle too on the process of losing weight, but people don't understand. They're like, even though I'm strength training, I wouldn't be like putting so much of muscle mass all of a sudden, right? I mean, there should be some difference on the scale. And yeah, that's true. There should be some difference on the scale. But one thing you need to keep in mind is that your muscle weigh more than your fat. Fat doesn't weigh that much, but fat takes a lot of space, right? So when fat percentage comes down, you're going to look shrink, you know, you're going to shrink. Right. And then you're building muscle on top of it. So for that to even out and for your scale to move, you just have to be consistent and just keep doing what you're doing. You might not get there in 6 months, but I'm sure if you do what you're doing, you will get there eventually in 1 or 2 years. And I don't know. I'm sure people don't like to hear when I say, okay, it's going to be that you're going to be there in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what the reality is.
It is. It is. Do you have people that work with you for years, or is it like, do you have folks like you get them to a certain point and then they just it's their job to maintain? Like, what is your program like?
Yeah. So we do have different hires to our program. So when we initially take on clients, what we do is, again, it really depends on how much weight they have to lose and, you know, how bad their metabolism is and how much work we need to put on and things like that. So ideally, we don't take any clients for less than 3 months. We need to work with you for a minimum of 3 months to help you reset that metabolism first and then start the fat loss. So the metabolic reset is usually the first 4 to 6 weeks of the coaching. And again, this will depend on how long you have been dieting for, how hard is it for you to increase that food intake and things like that. So and your consistency, of course, is also going to matter. So 4 to 6 weeks. So once that 4 to 6 weeks is done, that's when we go into the active fat loss phase, right? So if someone wants to lose 50 pounds, then fat loss, even if they're able to lose 2 pounds a week, they're not going to lose all that 50 pounds in 3 months. They need a little bit more time than that. So if someone is coming to us for, like, say, example, for 3 months coaching, they're going to follow the same process. They might lose like up to 20 pounds in 3 months, let's say. And if they want to lose more, they feel like, I haven't learned everything, I really want to learn more, that's when we have the next level coaching. We call it next level metabolic mastery. So what happens there is that we will teach them how to get rid of that fat completely. And then it's all about building that muscle and getting that aesthetic figure that most women want these days. So that's our next level coaching. That is like a 12-month coaching. But there is no, like, we do not put people directly into the next level. They go through the metabolic mastery first, make sure that their body is ready to take it to the next level. Once they are there, then we, you know, offer them then the next level. And if they want to, they move forward. Yes, we do have clients that do next level with us. For gotcha. Sure. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I mean, in those cases, because you're working with people longer time, I'm sure you see some of the hormone stuff kind of throughout the whole thing. What do you think is the most common hormone imbalance pattern that you see within your coaching practice?
Yeah, the one is irregularity with your menstruation. Like, we track people's menstrual cycle. And we see that sometimes it is, I mean, if it is like 2 or 3 days delayed, or you know, within that, you know, 25 to 35 days window, that's fine. But then sometimes people have less erratic cycles, right? Some of them do not have cycle 1 month. Some might have like two cycles. So that's something that we see. And another thing we see is that not enough people have enough progesterone. They're not ovulating. So we check people's basal body temperatures too. And again, like this can be like not very accurate because not everyone follows everything to the T, but there are some people who are like really interested and keen learning about their hormones and, you know, those things. So the other things we see is also the decrease in amount of progesterone and signs of estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true for women over the age of 35 that is entering into that perimenopausal transition time period. And the other thing we see a lot now these days is Hashimoto's. Like so many people, I can't even believe like 10 years ago, there was only like 25 autoimmune diseases or something, right? And now we have 100 and we are counting.
Yeah.
So, and Hashimoto's is a very popular autoimmune condition. So we deal with a lot of people, or we work with a lot of people that has Hashimoto's. Another one is lupus, and lupus is very like all over the place. Like not everyone is going to have the same symptom for lupus. Like we have a client, I still work with her. She started a year ago and her symptoms are all over the place, like systemic inflammation.
Wow.
Right? 1 week she's able to work out, the next week she's on bed rest. It's crazy. Her doctors are not even able to figure out like what is exactly going on symptoms wise for her. She's only like 36 or 37, very young. And it is so, you know, heart-wrenching to see a young woman going through that and not able to enjoy the life to the fullest. But yeah, so those are some of the common ones, and hypothyroid for sure are some of the common things that we see nowadays in terms of hormonal wise.
I would agree that that's what I see too. I think it's across the board. I think it's across the board, and I think these are the folks who are really obviously looking for help, right? Because Hashimoto's is going to mess with metabolism, the estrogen roller coaster. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Do you get like questions on repeat a lot from folks in terms of certain things related to the hormones? What kind of things do folks ask you about?
Yeah. So with how do I know if I have a hormonal imbalance, right? Mm-hmm. Like my GP is not testing my hormones. Mm-hmm. And when they do the blood test, everything looks fine on the paper. Mm-hmm. But I do have symptoms. So how do I know? So what I would say is that for perimenopause, it's not diagnosed after testing your blood. That's mm-hmm. not how it is diagnosed. It's purely on symptom basis, right? Mm-hmm. So even if your GP says your estrogen and progesterone is fine, this has to be checked at certain times of the cycle. And of course, when you have erratic cycles, then it's not, there's no consistency in there, right, in the first place. So then how are we even going to diagnose if there's no consistency in the way you're producing your hormones? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. So don't just depend on your, just look at your symptoms, right? So if you have symptoms, and there are 50 different symptoms for that suggests that you could be in perimenopause and you could be having a low estrogen, high estrogen or low estrogen and a low progesterone. There's so many different symptoms, from thinning of your hair, falling eyebrow hair, the outer mm-hmm. one third of your eyebrow hair. If that is thinning out, then that's another sign. I'm always feeling cold. You know, when the estrogen levels are dropping, your hypothalamus is not really getting that temperature regulation signal. So it's not performing the way it should be performing. So that's another one. Hot flashes. What else? Breast, you know, some people say my breast looks odd, you know, because estrogen does really help with breast growth and also mm-hmm. mammary gland function, but mm-hmm. that, and then infertility is another one. Very difficult for you to get pregnant. Even if you're only like 32 or 33, it's so hard for you to get pregnant. It shouldn't be that hard, right? From 30 to 35, it shouldn't be that hard, even though your fertility is like decreasing. Once that you are 35, 36 and above, it becomes a little bit more harder. But if you are like 32, 33, and it's so hard for you to get pregnant, then that could be it. Your nails getting brittle, you know, your skin looking saggy, wrinkly, not feeling good, like brain fog is big, like brain
Yeah.
fog, not able to concentrate. I don't know how many times the women that I talk to say, "Oh my God, Anne, I don't remember what I wanted to say. I was like literally wanting to say something to you." And she was like literally talking to me about it. And she was like, "Oh, I don't remember where am I going with this," right? Like your estrogen is neuroprotective, right? For memory, concentration, and all that, you need your estrogen. And when that is dropping and fluctuating, that's when you feel these kind of weird things with your brain, like loss of memory, loss of libido, and things. So it's so many different symptoms, like 50 different symptoms that we can actually sit here and talk about all day, every day, that suggests you could be going through perimenopause. And also low progesterone, that is another thing too that women don't understand. Like, how do I know I have low progesterone? Well, are you getting short-tempered all of a sudden, right? Your mood is going all over the place. That is a good sign that your progesterone could be dropping, right? And do you have like aches and pains all of a sudden? Because your bone maintenance and all that, progesterone plays a good role in that too. So many different things. You don't need a doctor's diagnosis to find out if you are going through hormonal changes. Your body itself is going to say, and weight gain on top of everything. It's like cherry on top, right?
Just the bonus. Now, I agree with you. We don't necessarily need to have a diagnosis, and most of the time we won't get one because things shift so much. But for the most part, we kind of know. And I've almost started to be like blanket statement, like you figure if you're getting to be closer to 35 and above, you probably are going to have some, somewhat some symptoms. So when you work with folks and you're like, okay, we have these symptoms, do you start to see symptoms decline as you're getting someone in a better state in terms of health and routines and lifestyle kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to say like all of them is going to feel so much better, because again, like when people come into a program, they are only going to be, most of them are only going to be with us for shorter periods of time. But for these kind of lifestyle changes to implement and that to work, it is going to take longer than that, right? But one thing we see for sure is that everyone that comes through with our coaching program, what we do is we check their perceived stress scale. So just to understand where the cortisol is at, and we compare and contrast that on a monthly basis. And surprisingly, people's stress level comes down when they are like eating the right kind of food, putting the right kind of, less toxic things into their system. Now their body is not in like constant, stress or flight or fight response anymore. Their cortisol is trying to balance out. And another thing is we also do a gut questionnaire to all the clients that comes through. So gut is so important, especially if you have like autoimmune Hashimoto's and things like that. Having a good my gut microbiome and really preventing that leaky gut, impermeability is so important. So we do like so many things, like cortisol assessment, the your gut health and things like that, and we compare and contrast that on a monthly basis. That paired with what we are seeing on the in terms of weight loss on scale, inches, difference in the picture. So there are so many different variables that we look at when people are coming through our coaching. And of course, there is going to be improvement in terms of scale, weight, and things like that. But then another part of it is also the way they are learning to regulate their insulin levels, because insulin and stress is connected, right? So once they'll learn how to do that, and the cortisol doesn't need to be on board all the time, it starts to balance out to more of in a diurnal pattern rather than being in a constant, like always up kind of situation. So yeah, we look at so many different things, and even though people only come in for a shorter period of time, I can see that that's like massive improvement that we see from where they started to where they are after the coaching ends. But with our long-term clients, we'll be able to, get more data in terms of what their hormones are doing, because we are working with them for long term. But yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I think the insulin is such a huge factor. And I think for a lot of women, that's kind of some of the crux of the blood sugar, even related to whether they have PCOS or whether they have, elevated estrogens. It seems like that if the body can kind of find a little bit of better balance, we have less issues there too. I know in our previous podcast we had talked about the PGX fiber and different things you guys are doing to help people with their blood sugar. What's kind of some of the other things you do to help folks with insulin sensitivity and trying to really help them balance their blood sugar throughout the course of the day?
For sure. So one thing we do is a proper assessment to find out even if they have like insulin sensitivity in the first place, right? Because most of them do not even know that. And some of them does come in with a history. Like if you have PCOS, then there is insulin sensitivity in there, resistance in there. And then if you're prebiotic, sorry, not prebiotic, prediabetic. Yeah, if you're prediabetic, then yeah, the insulin piece with some kind of resistance is already there. So that's already there in the picture. And unfortunately, with the lifestyle that we are currently having, more than like 70% of women after the age of 35 is like pre-diabetic, unfortunately. So, but if the none of that is like evident, things are not there, then another thing that we look at is their cravings, right? Most people, like more than 95% of women that we work with, has cravings. Okay, they say I eat healthy all the time, but when it's dinner time, I crave for that sweet, I crave for that sugar, salty thing. It's bad. Or lunchtime hits after just after lunchtime, I ate a heavy lunch or whatever, 2 hours into after lunchtime, I'm feeling this intense craving. Another thing is also that I'm waking up in the middle of night. That's a big red flag that is telling that, okay, your blood sugar is dropping, and it shouldn't be dropping like that in the middle of the night. Then that has to do something, got something to do with insulin sensitivity, right? So I'm waking up in the middle of night around 2 a.m. feeling hungry. Some might not even know that they're feeling hungry, right? They just wake up and they cannot go back to sleep. This could be either your cortisol level, okay, and it also can be your insulin. Your sugar's dropping. So if someone comes to us saying that, like, okay, my sugar is dropping at in the middle of the night, then what we ask them to do is after your dinner, we usually ask people to do an early dinner so that, you know, we are giving enough time for our liver to do the detoxification process. It usually happens like around 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Our liver started it start its detoxification. At that point in time, we do not want to be putting so much fat and other food into our system, making it so much hard for the liver to do its work, right? So we ask people to, okay, make your dinner 2 hours, okay, before your bedtime. You shouldn't be eating anything before that, before you 2 hours prior to your bedtime, and then you go to bed. But if someone comes in and say that I'm waking up in the middle of night feeling hungry, and if they're going to bed at 10 p.m., then we would say right before you go to bed, maybe around like 9:30, maybe you can have some cheese and crackers or like a sandwich or like peanut butter toast or something that is like good carbohydrate and also like good fat and protein in it. You don't have to count or anything, just eyeball it. It has to have fat, it has to have protein, it has to have carb. It shouldn't be dominant in any of these things, but in balance, and eat it, right? So what we see is that when they're doing it, they're not waking up in the middle of the night with a sugar spike. Okay, so that would fix that. Now, if you're having like cravings right after lunch and like before going to bed, you want to eat that sweet, then that has to do more with how you're eating your food during the daytime, right? So for them, what we would say is always start your day with a savory breakfast, that to a protein-heavy breakfast. Okay, if you want to eat a little bit, you can still have carbs in there. I'm not saying to do low carb or no carb or anything, just make sure that you're eating at least 30 grams or minimum 30 grams of protein in there with your breakfast. Okay, it has to be like good protein heavy, right? And then a good amount of calories should come from your breakfast, meaning eat a heavy breakfast. I believe in the North American culture, it's the other way around. We eat a light breakfast, then the next heaviest thing is the lunch, and then there's a heavy dinner, putting so much pressure on your liver to detoxify all this. So flipping the script, right? That simple shift is going to make a huge difference when it comes to the craving. Heavy breakfast, if you can have like a 600 calorie big breakfast in the morning, just go for it. Okay, break your fast with savory rather than a sweet breakfast. So protein pancakes with some syrup on it compared to some avocado toast and some eggs. I would choose the avocado toast and egg because it's savory. We don't want to break our fast by putting some sugar into our system, which is going to increase the cravings later on during the day. That's like the biggest tip when it comes. I talked a lot. Sorry, I had to say all this.
You're fine. You're fine. No, it's good. I think for a lot of people, we've been all conditioned, right, to eat the cereals and the, oatmeals and the all those things. And now we're like, oh, wait, we've been taught all wrong, or we've been, brainwashed kind of in a way, to think that there are certain types of foods that you eat for breakfast. And I love the avocado toast. Like, since that took off, I'm like, get people behind that one a little bit better. I'm sure you're probably noticing that too, that it's a little easier to get people behind a different breakfast by tweaking things a little bit towards that side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And like some people I know doesn't like to eat breakfast at all. I've talked to so many women, they're like, I don't want to eat a breakfast, right? And but I'm having so many cravings throughout the day. And I'm like, so how do you break your fast? That's all the breakfast is. Like, if you don't want to eat breakfast first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock, don't. But when are you breaking your fast next? Make sure the meal that you're breaking your fast with is a high protein, savory meal. That's all it is. Okay. Don't go and eat a glass of milk and some cereal. Like, that's plain sugar. That is going to dictate the rest of the day for you. And if you want to implement a lifestyle where you're starting your day with a breakfast, that is going to take some time, especially if you're someone who hasn't ate breakfast your entire life. I'm not saying that you should start that right now, but if you feel like that's the best strategy for you to do, start simple, right? Take small steps at a time, but that's fine. That is not going to hinder in or stand in the way of you losing weight. You just have to keep in mind that whatever food that you're using to break your fast has to be a high protein, good balance of carbs and fat. Food that is savory so that you're not craving for the rest of the day.
I think you brought up something really important because a lot of people do think, well, if I've been fasting all these years and then I start adding another meal in, what's that going to do to my weight? What's it going to do to my hormones? And it's a tough one sometimes.
Your hormones, it is going to be happy because we all, our body needs fuel, right? And food is fuel. But there's a difference between eating whatever and being intentional with your eating. If you have been someone who learned or been fasting your entire life, skipped your breakfast, and when you're starting to introduce breakfast back into your life and you're starting that with a smoothie, I don't think that's a great idea. I would rather stick with fasting and eating a great meal rather than just starting your day with some smoothie or a banana or like a chocolate or something. I don't know if someone eats chocolate for breakfast, but
I may have a few times in my life. I mean, it happens. But fully aware of what I'm doing. Being like, oh my God, this is bad. But it is. Let's go to the smoothie thing because the smoothie craze, I think, might have messed with people just as much as the cereals and breakfast foods. We're thinking like, oh, a smoothie. Well, what if I add protein powder to it? Does that mess, does that help?
Hey, Health Junkies, wanted to tell you about my pal, Dr. Anna Marie Frank's supplement line that specifically targets the needs of women, from anxiety to depression to getting focused and balancing those hormones, as well as helping with sleep. She's got you covered. Plus, she has teas too. This day and age, it's hard to know what supplement companies are up to when it comes to sourcing and quality. That's why I love to get to know company owners. Dr. Anna Marie has created formulas that combine what I would do if I owned a supplement and tea company. So, wanted to tell you about them. As a listener of the Health Fix podcast, you can get 10% off your order by using the code DRJKRAUSE when you head to happywholeyou.com. Now, say you're driving or out on an adventure and you're not going to remember where to find this website. That's okay. My favorite products are all on my website at drjkrausnd.com. Just click on shop and you'll find everything I stand behind and use myself right there. So let's get back to the podcast.
Or what are, what's your opinion on protein powder smoothies? Do you think that helps or do you think that it's better to do the savory foods? What's your thought?
Yeah, I would say like everyone's lifestyle is different. So if your lifestyle calls for you drinking smoothie first thing in the morning, and that if that's the best thing that you can do, do it. You know, you have to put food into your system. And if you are a busy mom or whatever that only can drink smoothie in the morning with some protein powder in it, go for it. Is it the best option? Probably not, but I would say something is better than nothing, right? Just skipping a breakfast and starting your day with just a Snickers or some kind of, you know, unhealthy thing, you know, smoothie is comparatively better. But one thing you need to keep in mind about smoothie is that it's very convenient. That's a great thing. But the things that you're putting in the smoothie, like fruit, so even if you put spinach or like celery or whatever that is, it breaks down, right? In the process of blending, it really breaks down and it really strips the vitamins and minerals and the fiber out. So you're not really getting so much of benefit from the smoothie itself the way you might be thinking, right? But when you think about whole fruits, spinach and everything, it is so rich in fiber and minerals and vitamins and all that. But this gets stripped out during the process of juicing. So that you're not going to be getting that much amount of fiber and vitamins and everything the way that you think that you might be getting from drinking a smoothie, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And protein powder is a fast-release protein, meaning it is going to be available to your body like right away. Okay, so unless you are someone who likes to do a heavy workout in the morning and then drink a protein smoothie, that makes sense because your body needs that protein right away to your body, for your body, right? But if you're someone who's like not working out in the morning or whatnot, but just drinking a protein smoothie, it's not going to do too much. Yes, it is going to, the protein is going to be there, but what is the protein even going to be used for? Nothing. So it can get stored as fat depending on what you're going to do for the rest of the day in terms of calories. Any type of calorie that is more than what your body needs and can process is going to be deposited as fat into your adipose tissue. So I would say, like, if again, like, all goes back to what your lifestyle is and what you're doing with your lifestyle. And if all you can do is smoothie, go for it. But don't expect it to give you all the benefit that a whole food can give, right? That you won't get from a protein shake. If you can replace a protein with eggs or egg whites, then that is going to be much more, you know, gut friendly and everything friendly compared to just a protein powder, which is going to be very quick release to your bloodstream, not going to use it, going to get stored as fat. Whereas if you consider whole food, egg and stuff like that, it is going to be released to your bloodstream on a much slower pace compared to the other things. And the sugar spike and the sugar dip that you're going to get from a whole food is going to be much less compared to you drinking like a smoothie or protein powder and things like that. But again, if you're working out, it makes sense. You can do that for sure.
That's a good distinction because I think a lot of people don't put that together. I mean, obviously, yes, juicing is going to strip out the fiber. So now it's just like sugar water, yeah. You know, for lack of a better term there. And unfortunately, that's been associated with the pillar of health, which I don't know how we got there. But we did. And the smoothies, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that, yeah, protein powder is meant to be a quick uptake protein.
Yeah. And yeah. Nowadays, like, I don't know, people put protein powder into so many different things. Like, they even make desserts of protein powder, and protein powders are not designed to go into your dessert. It's not. You know, there are so many other ways you can incorporate protein into your routine. And if you're, again, this all comes back to the quick, right? I'm looking for mm-hmm. a quick alternative, and okay, powder mm-hmm. is sitting there. It's very easy. I can just throw it in some water, shake it and drink it. But the thing is that how is your body even utilizing it, right? What are you doing in terms of workouts and other things, and how it is going to be actually used up for your cells and metabolism and things like that. So that's something that you need to look into deeply before considering like blindly drinking protein smoothies or like eating protein cakes and so many other things as we see nowadays on Instagram.
Oh, you can you can find a recipe for all kinds of desserts with protein powder in it. Yeah. But like you're mentioning, I mean, this is something I don't think a lot of people, and I know I haven't talked about on the podcast before, but like something a lot of people don't think about is like protein powder is designed for workout situations. And so I know a lot of people, myself included, when I've gotten lazy let's be real. When I've gotten lazy in my office and I was seeing patients back to back and just trying to get people, you know, in and out and keep up with my patient load, I would drink protein smoothies throughout the day. And it's when my weight really started to go up. And so I know that you probably have seen this with your clients. They've probably described it and you've seen it happen over time too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, even if you're drinking like good amount of protein or it's the best quality protein, that has calories in it too. Right. Mm-hmm. And protein powder, if you look at it, depending on what kind of protein, there's so many different kinds of protein. There is lean protein, there is mass gainer protein, and the amount of calories per scoop is going to be different. So the protein that I take nowadays is mass gainer because I'm trying to build some muscle. But when you look at the ingredient the ingredient thing, you look at it, it says per scoop, it is, let's say, 27 grams of protein, but that has like 500 calories in it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so say for example, I'm just drinking protein because that's convenient for me, and you're putting 500 calories like for each meal, and then you are maybe probably by the end of the day, since you're not getting enough carbohydrates from the protein powder, most protein powder these days are very like lean, less carb, less sugar and things like that. So your carbohydrate requirement is not being met throughout the day. So what's going to happen is that you're going to get home feeling so hungry and starving and feeling drained. And the first thing that you're going to grab is probably a very processed carbohydrate food, a very convenient one. Right. So all the protein shakes you did in the morning, right, it's not going to do anything because you're going to eat the most unhealthy carbohydrate, leftover food or whatever, not really thinking about it. And that can really have an impact on the way your body is going to initiate the detoxification process throughout the night. The way it breaks down sugar and things like that, most of it's going to get stored as fat. So this process keeps going on and on and on. Right. So it's not about like just randomly throwing things in their body. It's being intentional. I know like sometimes we can get so busy. I do that too. When I'm busy, the best thing I can do is drink a protein shake. I always compare. So what is the best thing I can do right now in this situation? The option I have is getting a Big Mac from McDonald's, or do I drink my protein shake? Of course, I'll go and drink my protein shake if those are my two options, right? But That's how I always do. Like if my option is to drink a protein shake, but if I have like 10 minutes to make a meal, even though I'm lazy, I don't want to do it, but just thinking about the long term, I would like, I'm just going to make that meal. Or I'm going to make sure that during the weekend I'm preparing enough food and putting in the fridge so that when this situation happens, I have something sitting in the fridge that I can easily go and grab rather than just blindly drinking protein powder, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, you know, that's going to resonate and maybe be a hard pill to swallow, because I do think that is one of the pitfalls in the, you know, trying to lose weight, but also trying to keep my hormones in check, trying to balance my blood sugar, that we fall into where the protein powder gets relied on a little bit more heavily than I think that our body can handle, like you said. And sometimes it might be going negative against us. And that's it's a really big thing. It goes back to meal prep.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like so much extravagant meal prep that we see on Instagram these days. You know, I don't know, people are making like, I don't know, like five-star restaurant type meals on there's, my feed is filled with like five-star restaurant type meals. And I'm like, I don't make these kind of meals at home. I don't have the time for it. We got to set some expectations here. Like, what is our lifestyle like? And there's so much difference between a real and real life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do what's best for your life. And if that's just, I don't know, for me, it's like rice and some curry and some veggies on the side. That's my typical lunch. But I make sure that my plate is done right. Right. So that I get enough of all of it. And if I want to eat a piece of cake after, then I'm not feeling guilty. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I'm fueling my body right. And eating that piece of cake after that is fine. So it's all about like learning how to do your plate. And being intentional. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I've seen those. I look at that. And I'm like, yeah, no. I am very like, I'm basic. A lot of my patients are like, yeah, I don't want to make the gourmet meals. I'm like, do you think I do that? Because it's not like that. Like, I'm seriously like super basic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know if anyone will have the time to do that. I don't know. maybe some do, but I don't. Like with my lifestyle, working 12 plus hours a day, two kids, nah, not for me.
No, I don't think really. I mean, I don't know. I have to always remind people that reels are ideas. Ideas. Yeah. Imagine these ideas, and maybe once in a while it happens. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So if we had to like kind of put it all together, some advice for folks about hormones and hormone balance, it does seem like the number one thing really does boil down to get the blood sugar balanced. Like, yeah. Number one.
Yeah, get your blood sugar balanced, get your stress under control. That's so important. Your cortisol will go against everything you do if it's not in balance. No matter how great workout program you have, how much of whatever food you're eating or how restricting you are, cutting down carbs, eating high protein, doing all that thing. But if your cortisol level is not in check, it's not going to do anything for your scale. It's not going to budge. You're going to be in the exact same spot 2 years from now. So get your sugars back on track, get your hormone level, especially your cortisol in check. The third thing you can do, especially if you are a female watching this, is that make sure that you're ovulating on a regular basis. And if you're not ovulating, take some steps towards finding the problem behind why you're not ovulating and do some research, see a practitioner, whatever, and get your ovulation back on track, right? Because menstruation and ovulation is just not for fertilization alone. There are so many different things. We have estrogen, progesterone receptors through our entire body. And even for weight losing, you need to have a proper ovulation. So again, like going back and talking about basal body temperature, check your basal body temperature. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're ovulating, your basal body temperature would go up to 1 degree Fahrenheit or 0.3 degrees Celsius. And if that's not happening on a monthly regular basis, and if that's like a consistent thing that you're facing, go see someone. I would recommend you going seeing a functional medicine practitioner rather than a mainstream medicine, because mainstream medicine always concentrate on acute things, right? If you have a problem now, they have a solution to fix it, to help save your life. That's what acute medicine is for. Okay, it's not preventative, right? Mm-hmm. I worked as a nurse in the ER for 10 years. And I'm not against acute medicine or anything. We love it. We love it because if there is an emergency, you need acute medicine. But for preventative purposes, I would say functional medicine is the best. Okay, so go see a practitioner that is going to help you out with that. So three main things. Get your blood sugar under control. Get your cortisol under control. Make sure you're getting your cycles, especially you're ovulating on a monthly basis. And if you are a woman over the age of 35, this is very important. You can experience some fluctuation. There are so many things that you can go and do about it. And Dr. Janine's Instagram feeds mm-hmm. always talks about so many different things that you can do about it as well, that I've seen was so much informational. But those three things are big hormonal wise, I believe. Is there anything that you like to add, Dr. Janine?
I think you covered them really well. I mean, that's my big thing. Of course, you know, fitness is the other thing. And I know you definitely recommend that as well. And, you know, being able to burn the calories a little, you know, and with motion. But otherwise, no, I do really believe that the root of a lot of the hormone stuff comes from cortisol being out of whack and the blood sugars kind of following behind. And especially when it comes to weight, it's they trace right behind each other. Now, before we sign off, you know, I think a couple of people might have some questions about testing. And within your guys's practice, you said something about saliva cortisol.
Cortisol? Yeah. So we do test that, but the one thing to keep in mind is that it's like has to be done privately through the labs. Mm-hmm. Or if you want your health whatever coverage to cover it, then it has to be done through your doctor. But of course, you can see a private practitioner, whoever that you're going to work with, and they will be able to order like a saliva testing or whatever mm-hmm. they feel that is important to find out what the cortisol level is, as well to just analyze where you're standing. But the blood cortisol is not going to give you a whole lot of a picture. There's a lot of range difference gap between the blood and from the saliva. Or from the testing, on those aspects. But yeah, we do that as well. But then I like to use my knowledge around hormones and things like that is geared directly towards weight loss. So I don't really take any like people personally and test their hormones. If they are like through my questionnaire and it's pretty extravagant, let's say that. Mm-hmm. The questions I ask to find out what their cortisol is at and their high, you know, the stress perseverance is at. So if they are like ranking high, then we automatically assume that they have a very stressful lifestyle, and let's give them some tools to bring their stress down. And on a monthly, we see, okay, this is, she was at 30 last month, mm-hmm. and this month she's at 25. That's a good thing, right? So what worked well for her, let's do that again in the coming month and bring that down even more. So that's how we work. But yeah, functional medicine practitioners are really great if you want to get some testing done to find out what your cortisol is.
Makes sense. No, I like the surveys because, I mean, we can pretty much tell if someone's cortisol is high versus low versus, you know, up and down or all around. It makes perfect sense. And so, yeah, I was thinking a couple of folks might wonder that. I'm curious on your opinion with folks that come in with like the levels, continuous glucose monitors, or if people, you know, if you found that to be helpful at all in your particular way you're working with folks with weight loss.
Yeah. So it's certainly great to have data, right? Like accurate data. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do about it? It's going to boil down to what are we going to do about it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're symptomatically, showing that you might have insulin resistance, or you're coming in with a blood result saying that you have actual insulin resistance, same with cortisol as well, right? If you are like ranking very high on the cortisol scale, or you're coming in with a test that says your cortisol level is chronically elevated, it boils down to what your intervention is. Right? What are you even going to do about it? So what I do is, again, like I really depend on my assessment with my clients, and I don't really do blood tests and things like that. But I assume if 35 years and up, if they have the two or three symptoms, as you know, as I stated above, and they're experiencing weight gain, they have all these things and cravings and all that, then they do have some kind of thing happening with their insulin production or release or the uptake by the cells, or, you know, the way their cortisol is being released. Mm-hmm. So I automatically implement the midlife makeover protocol, is what I call the protocol that we use on women like this. I automatically implement that protocol into the nutrition and exercise part of things, and then we reassess on a monthly.
Makes sense. I mean, I think there is a lot we can do, and just using our intuition and our results if we're surveying folks often. I mean, I think that's good, as good as testing with the questionnaires, because you're going to find out one way or other there.
Cool
stuff. You guys are doing great stuff. I really like what's happening. And I like that you're also taking into account the hormones, and definitely I do agree. Like blood sugar.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't get that by now, blood sugar. Just saying.
Sugar. Yep. Mm-hmm. Important.
So tell folks where they can find you, of course, and where they can hook up with you guys, you and your husband, because I know he's not on today, but tell us a little bit about where folks can find you, how they can get in touch with you to get into your programs.
Absolutely. First of all, Janine, thank you so much. I'm really honored to be back on your show yet again. And to all the folks that are listening to us today, we talked a lot about glucose control, stress and all that. And stress was something that stood out, you know, it was speaking out loud, and most of us do go through these episodes of stress. Since we are like 30 years and up, we have kids, we have so many other things happening, and it's really important for you to see weight gain and also in terms of weight loss and also in terms of symptom management. So it's very important. So since you guys listened up till the end of the podcast, I do want to give out the stress toolkit that we give to our clients absolutely for free to you. All you need to do is go find out me on Instagram. My handle is Anne Maria Tom, and send me the keyword Janine, then I'm going to be sending you that stress toolkit that I talked about. Okay, so DM me on Instagram, Anne Maria Tom, send me the keyword Janine, then I'll send you that stress toolkit for you to work on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. I appreciate it. Look forward to chatting more as we move forward and just helping folks out one day at a time here.
Thank you so much, Janine. Have a great day.
You too.
Hey, Health Junkies. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Health Fix podcast. To help support my mission to bring you tips, tricks, and tools to help you optimize your health, I'd be grateful if you'd like, subscribe, and write me a review for the podcast. And if you hear a product you're interested in on the podcast, you can now go over to my website to learn more. That's Dr. spelled out, JKRAUSEND.com. Just click on shop and you'll find all the information on my favorite products that I stand behind and use myself. All affiliate income earned with your purchases goes directly to help support the production of the podcast so I can keep bringing you quality health information. I appreciate your support and I'm honored to have you listening to my podcast as a fellow health junkie. Thanks again.